Somebody said to me this morning, I said, you know, I'm going to speak just briefly when Steve is finished. And they said, can you do that? I don't know what they meant. But anyway, I want to just give you this. I want you to think about this. This has been such an incredible service because without planning it this way, God has orchestrated things where it actually just is kind of a picture of what the Open Door Church is, what the DNA of this church is. You see, it's not about us. It's about Him, and it's about them. It's about people who are not here yet, people who don't yet know Jesus. The focus is not on us, the focus is on Him, and it's on them. And so I just want to remind you of this. I want to remind you of why the church exists. Why are we here? What has God put us here for? And this is another incredible thing. Stephanie and I did not rehearse this ahead of time, but she quoted a scripture in the opening of the service, that the scripture I plan to use today to introduce the thoughts that I want to give you. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Here's what I see in that. The ultimate purpose of the church is to glorify God by telling the world what He has done for mankind through His Son. That's our ultimate purpose. We give glory to God by telling people what God has made possible to them through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And Scripture reveals three primary objectives that the church must pursue as we engage in our ultimate purpose of glorifying Him. And I just want to remind you, we talk about these again and again, but the three objectives of the church are evangelism, discipleship, and worship. Those of you who've been here week after week after week, say it with me. Evangelism, discipleship, and worship. That's what we do, and we do those three things in order to bring glory to God. So let's talk about evangelism. Evangelism occurs when the church uses creative and innovative methods to communicate to non-believers the good news that Jesus saves. There are people walking in and out of our lives every week that have not yet come into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Evangelism is a high priority for the church because God doesn't want anybody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from Him for all eternity in the lake of fire. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The fact that God doesn't want anyone to perish means that evangelism is a high priority with God. And if it's a high priority with God, it ought to be a high priority with us. The second thing is discipleship. Discipleship occurs when the church equips believers to reach non-believers and equips them to reach non-believers and equips them to reach non-believers and equips them to reach non-believers. And the cycle goes on and on and on. Discipleship is winning someone to Christ and then equipping them to be able to go out and win someone else to Christ. And generation after generation after generation, that continues to happen. And have you figured out yet that you're here today because that happened in the past? That's the only reason you're here, is because that has been going on since Jesus came. This process of discipleship is what Jesus was describing when He said to His disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go and make disciples. There it is. Go and make disciples of all nations. And then he tells us how to do it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then the wonderful promise. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You see, it's not enough that we make converts. It's not enough that we help people become believers and they get the gift of eternal life. It's only enough when we have equipped them to go out and make disciples. Equip them to go out and reach other people so that they too can become followers of Jesus. Without that, in one generation, the church would be extinct. We wouldn't even be here. And then the third thing is worship. Worship occurs when believers express to God from their hearts His great worth. In fact, the original word for worship in the English language was worth-ship. And because, you know, we've gotten lazy through the generations, we've dropped the TH. It's easier to say worship than it is to say worth-ship. And the whole idea is worship is when we declare the worth of God. When we let the world know how valuable God is. When we let the world know that we could not exist without Him because He has given to everyone life and breath and everything that pertains to life and godliness. Sadly, people who know how to worship, who really know what worship is and regularly participate in worship and authentically worship God, those people are so rare that God has been and is continuing to conduct a global search for true worshipers. It was that way when Jesus was here, and it's still that way today. Jesus said to a Samaritan woman at a well one day, He said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And if the verse ended right there, we could feel pretty good about that. But the verse goes on to say, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. That word seeking from the Greek language is translated from a word that means to conduct an all-out search. It means that worshipers are so rare that God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole world, diligently searching for those few rare people that actually understand and participate in authentic worship simply from the human heart, declaring the great worth of God to the world. That's worship. Worship is when you declare to God and to others His worth. So you see, the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Here's the conclusion. I know you're shocked that I said that this early, but here it is. Here's the conclusion. As the church of the living God, we're called to give Him glory. The Apostle Paul clearly explained this truth in our text verse. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. We are personally responsible to give Him glory in the church by participating in evangelism and discipleship and worship right here where we live, within our own personal reach, within our sphere of influence. You see, evangelism is why we operate our clothes closet and our food pantry ministries. And it's why we plan to open Freedom House, this residential Christian treatment center for addicts that I mentioned earlier. That's why we do those things. It's evangelism. It creates a platform. It creates an opportunity for us to share the good news with people so they can understand it and believe it and receive the gift of eternal life. Discipleship is why we operate such ministries as Impact Kids across the parking lot, One Way Youth, and Inquiring Minds, that Bible study that we operate. It's discipleship. It's helping to equip and train people to answer the tough questions of life for themselves and for others. And then worship It's why our worship team that we call Revere meets for rehearsal on Wednesday evenings and then before our worship service on Sunday mornings in preparation to lead us in an environment that can just motivate us and inspire us to express to God His great worth to us. Worship is why our elders invited Steve to sing in this worship service today. And Steve will invite you back again. Because he led us in worship, didn't he? He directed our attention to the one whose person it is all about. Now I want to say this, and then I'm going to quit. We can also extend our glory giving beyond our personal reach, further than we could reach as an individual, by prayerfully and financially supporting missions whose purpose is to evangelize non-believers and disciple them and motivate them to engage in authentic worship. That's why Steve showed the video clip about Compassion International. Because lives are being changed as a result of that. People are being introduced to Jesus, the only one who can lift them out of the mire of the circumstances in which they find themselves. And for that reason, because we want to reach beyond what we can just do right here at home, we receive a mission offering in support of Celebration Church in Davao City, Philippines on the first Sunday of February and April and June and August and October and December. 6 months out of the year, we take up an offering for that church because of its evangelism and because of its discipleship and because of its commitment to worship. And in fact, we're going to receive that offering at the end of our service today. There's going to be somebody at the door to take a mission offering from you if you're willing to give it to help that church continue to do evangelism. You see, they're in a third world country. They work 12 hours a day for about $5. And so even when they give their tithe, that's not much. And so they don't have the resources to be able to go out all over that city of 2 million people and travel to the different locations in that city and share the gospel. And so we send them an offering and they use it to pay the cost of public transportation to get the workers in that church to the places that they need to be to evangelize people. And about 13 people a week are coming to Christ. And then they disciple those people and they start house churches all over the city. And it's just an incredible thing that God's doing there. I could just talk forever about that, but I won't. But that's why we do that. It's about extending our reach to the regions beyond. So that's what we're all about here at the Open Door Church. And if you're our guest today, we are so delighted that you are here. And we want you to pray for us that we'll keep that focus. The focus is central and it's a must in order for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish here.